السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we praise him, we seek his assistance and his forgiveness from the evil consequences of our deeds and our actions. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one could try to misguide that person. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through its infinite wisdom, doesn't bless with guidance, no one can try to guide that person. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is his servant and messenger. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Or you who truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, your Creator, your Sustainer, advises you to have taqwa, to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're dealing with your spouse, when you're dealing with your children, when you're dealing with your co-workers, when you're watching whatever you're watching on that tablet, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you ought to be in this state, and do not leave this world except submitting him to him in Islam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti'illaha wa rasulah faqad faza fawzan 'azima. Or you who truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again, your Creator, your Sustainer, your Guide, advises you to have taqwa, to have that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the biggest things we could have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with is with we say with our tongue. Be careful what we say. قُلُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Do not backbite. Do not be condescending. Do not lie. Watch what you do with that tongue. And if you're able to control it, Allah will rectify your deeds, make your task easy for you to complete, and forgive you for your wrongdoings. And whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will gain a great reward, a great success. Alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has blessed us on this beautiful day of Friday in this beautiful masjid with this beautiful community. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance of Islam, that we're able to worship Him in the right way, to be guided to the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When people are lost on what to follow and what trend to do, Alhamdulillah, we have a clear guide and a clear evidence for us to follow. Alhamdulillah, we know that we are in the summer months. And summer months comes with a lot of heat, but also it comes with a lot of marriages. This is the nikah or wedding season, if you will. And alhamdulillah, that's very beautiful. We want people to get married. We want the people to love each other and get along with each other, mashallah. When you turn on the news, you usually see opposite than that. So this is something that's beautiful, that we're having individuals marry each other, alhamdulillah, benefiting the community, making the community grow. And this is something that's great. But one thing that we also know, and those who are married in the crowd, marriage is a process, and it's something that comes with a little bit of hurdles built into it. And that's just part of what marriage is about. You'll have to jump sometimes, you'll have to duck sometimes, you'll have to roll to get to that end goal and work through it. There's going to be issues that come. And working through those issues in a respectful and a decent mannerism is what makes the best couples and make that marriage work. Because it's guaranteed 1,000% that there is issues going to come. But how to handle it and how to deal with it, now that's the test. But one thing we have to also understand is that with marriages, there's sometimes financial issues. There's the in-laws that come and they have to deal with the in-laws. There is sometimes, you know, respect, being condescending, he's insultive, she doesn't do this. There's a lot of things. But also there's something else that's playing in the background sometimes against couples. Something else that's going against them. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith that's mentioned in Sahih Muslim, where he says something that's very important for us to be aware of. Where he says that shaitan put his throne above the water. Shaitan, he put his little throne above the water. Why did he do that for? Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne is above the water, above the sama'awad, above the skies, above the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne is there. So he wants to mimic Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't, you know, this guy doesn't have too much going with him, so he wants to mimic Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet said that shaitan puts his throne over water. And all the evil demons of shayateen come and gather around him. And so a shaitan, he sits there as their leader, and he talks to them. And he says, you know, and they're all, and the Prophet said that the ones who have done the most notorious acts of evil get to sit closer to shaitan. And so what happened, the shayateen, they sit down and they try to raise their hand. And they try to tell the Iblis, shaitan, what they did. So some said, you know what? Ana fa'altu kadha wa kadha. I did this and I did that. And so shaitan tells the shayateen, this evil jinn, ma sana'ta shay'an. You didn't do anything. Another one talks and he said, you didn't do anything. And then there's one shayateen that raises his hand and says, you know what? I put all my effort. I did not leave a person until I made him and his spouse separate. I stayed with them. I kept on whispering to them, trying to cause problems and evil and try to cause dissension until they separated. What does shaitan say? He said, ni'ma anta. He said, you did a very excellent job. Come here and sit by me. Now, what is the hadith telling us, my dear brothers and sisters? With all the issues that married couples deal with, behind all that, there's shayateen and shaitan trying to make it worse. I know what you're saying. Oh my gosh, could it get any worse? I didn't think it could get any worse. But yeah. But understand that what? The shaitan is there trying to cause more issues, if you will. But there's also a little secret there. That sometimes, that when you look at your spouse and they're arguing with you, and sometimes they have differences, and sometimes you might sit there and say, what? I've never seen her act like that before. I've never seen him act like that. He's going crazy. He's getting really angry. Well, you know what? It could be the shaitan that's whispering and making that person do that. It's the shaitan that's whispering that. The person makes it in the ear. And they said, yes, I'm going to get my voice louder. Get your voice louder. Yell a little bit harder. I am going to do that. Be a little insultive. Okay, I'll do that. And that person just keeps on going and going and going because they're angry, they're vulnerable. And they kept on getting mean and ugly and mean and ugly. And the person, I don't even recognize who you are anymore. I don't even recognize this man I married. I don't recognize this woman I married anymore. And it's Shaitan pulling the strings in the background. Because when a person gets married, they know good in that person. They married them. They married them for, no one gets married because I hate that person. Yeah, I don't like this person. That's why we're getting married today. No, no one does that. But they saw good character. Whatever, they talked to them. It was a courting process. Hopefully it was a good courting process. And they selected that person. They know, well, they have some good qualities in them. But for some reason, this acting different today. They get a little bit more angry. Ah, Shaitan, the Shayateen are working. They're helping the worst, make the situation worse. And that's something just to know about. That, you know what, I know good of you. That's why I married you. That's why I married you. But know what, look like your anger is a little bit different today. That Shaitan is doing this. And that's very important, my dear brothers and sisters. Just why Yusuf alayhi salam, if you remember the story, not to go too much on a tangent here, but when he was back in a finance minister in Egypt and his family came to him, and he's sitting on the throne now, and alhamdulillah, he was get pulled out of the sijin of the prison, what did he say? He says that Allah did ahsan to him, did good to him, that he brought my family to me and took me out of the prison after what? After Shaitan nazagha bayni wa bayni ikhwati. After Shaitan made dissension between me and my brothers. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He's blaming who? His brothers? La. He's blaming Shaitan that caused this issue. That he knows good in his brothers, but he got a little jealous. And Shaitan kept on pushing that jealousy and they went with it. And what happened? They got so evil that we're going to throw someone down a well. That's crazy. That's what Shaitan does. And so just like that, that could happen with spouses also. That can happen with couples. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to tell us that maybe Shaitan's getting the best of that person. And you know what? They do have good in them. Maybe they just need a little bit of help. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, just to go, anytime you go to a nikah and you have a marriage ceremony, usually the imam or the person that's doing the ceremony, and I do the same thing also, you bring up the famous verse of Surah Rum. There's other ayat, but it's kind of like the default one to go to. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in Surah Rum that from the great signs, min ayatihi, from the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He created us and He made us into spouses that we taskunun alayhi, that we live together with each other. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا مَوَدَّ وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah said He puts mawadda and rahma between us. The foundation of a marriage sits on mawadda and rahma. What is mawadda? Passion, love. What is rahma? This is Masjid Rahman. You better know what rahma is. Is mercy. That you're willing to forgive somebody. Not yelling them all night long. But I want to forgive them. That is what the marriage sits on. And when you go to the young couples and you say, did you hear that ayah, brother? Mawadda and rahma, do you have it? And they said, yeah, I heard it. Sister, did you hear it? Mawadda and rahma? Like, yeah, alhamdulillah. And if you've been married for a good amount of years, you kind of smile. You might pat that brother in the back. Yeah, you have mawadda and rahma. You're about to see mawadda and rahma in a little bit. That mawadda and rahma, that this is the foundation principles. But if you are a newbie to marriage, and you've never been married before, and you're entering this marriage, and you think you're going to be the expert on mawadda and rahma, I got news for you. It's going to take practice. There's going to be some bumps in that mawadda and rahma that you're going to have to work out. If this was a company and these two people just entered, what would we call them, my dear brothers and sisters? We'll call them interns. We'll call them entry-level engineer. Entry-level accountant. They're not a senior. They're not in an intermediate five-year experience. They are rookies. If it was in sports, we will call them rookies. Do rookies make mistakes? Oh, yeah, they do. Does entry-level engineers make mistakes? Yeah, they might blow up a board. I didn't know if that was a DC and this was AC. I didn't know. You should have known. As long as you don't burn down the factory, but they might burn up a board. Do we fire them? No, but we teach them after that. If they're an accountant, they might mess up on the numbers and the balance might not be there. Why? Because they're entry level. They're still learning. They're going to make some mistakes. And so for these new marriages, my dear brothers and sisters, people are getting married. There're going to be issues. You're going to mess up on the numbers. You're going to blow a fuse here and there because you just didn't know. And it's going to take some time. What's really great in a company, you can walk behind a senior engineer and then blame him that, you know, he didn't teach me anything. I was right there. He didn't say anything. But if you're in a marriage, you don't have someone holding your hand. And a lot of us are really macho. We don't want to tell our parents what's going on in the house. I don't want to tell my brother, my friends that we have some issues because they're going to think bad of us. So we smile when we go out and we hold our hands, right? But here that you're going to need to be taught. You're just a rookie. You're just an intern. You have to expect the first couple weeks, expect the first 2 years to be tough. Don't just run away. I want a divorce. What? 2 weeks, 3 weeks? What happened? Doesn't like me. Doesn't respect me. What did he do? He was on his phone when he was talking to me. That was it? Seriously? He was on his phone and that's the colossus. The marriage is over? This is not like an Amazon return. You just send it back and it's gone. It's not like Costco. They don't care if you use the item or not. They'll take it back. This is marriage. These are human people. These are emotions. You have to work a little bit here. It's not a game. Yes, and I want to say it. I want to make it very clear that there is serious grounds for divorce and where people have to be separated. That serious, sometimes criminal things are happening. That yes, there's a category where there has to be separated and there's not much that we could work on there. But I'm not talking about this exception group here. I'm talking about the normal bumps and rubs and jumps that go on in a normal marriage. That there has to be understanding that we are new. And it could be a brother. Alhamdulillah, one thing in our community, we still have, you know, modesty and people who are chaste, which is not found in our society anymore. That there's still, like, you know, alhamdulillah, people that have not had any girlfriends, mashallah, and the sister never had a boyfriend, mashallah, okay? And these two people are getting married, salihin, tayyibin, alhamdulillah. And that's good. We want that to happen. Now, this brother has taking care of a woman. All he knows is his mom and his sister. That's totally different. That's not like a wife. And all of a sudden, she's in his hands. And he has to know how to be emotionally caring for her and physically caring for her. Where did he get that experience from? It's going to take a little while to work that out. How is she going to know how to take care of him? It's going to take a little while. It's going to take a little bit to understand how that works. Tell the brother, why don't you buy flowers for her? The flower's going to die in 5 days. Why would I waste $20 or $30? That's silly. I'm not going to do that. Well, you're going to learn. You're going to do that pretty soon. Because when that $20, $30 is going to bring a smile to your wife's face, you'll keep on buying the flower. You won't care about it if it dies 5 days later. Oh, but it takes you time to be aware of that. It takes you time to learn that. But right now, it's about money. It don't make no sense buying no $30 flowers. Ah, that's going to come. That's going to take a little while. But I never bought flowers before. Ah, no, you're a rookie. That's why. It's going to take some time. Work it out. Don't run. Sit there. Don't worry. There's a method to do that. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given much, much examples. And how he dealt with couples. Many couples would come to him. And they'll bring up issues. You know, there's one time, there's one lady, as mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, a sahabiya. A lady came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complaining about her husband. And there's a sign there. If they have issues, don't run to the court straight away. Run to someone maybe that can help you. That's the first step. So she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining about her husband. And so what did you say? Yeah, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah. My husband disciplines me when I pray. He didn't like me to pray. And doesn't allow me to fast. And oversleeps Fajr every single day. Subhanallah, I wish sisters would complain about that more about husbands to me. I wish I had to deal with those oversleeping Fajr problems. But I get other things. So this sister comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, what? When I pray, he complains. When I fast, he complains. He gets mad. And he sleeps over Fajr. Now, if everyone hears the story today, we're like, what kind of brother is that? Who is this guy? Why would he do that for? What evil person that is. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is just. So you have to hear both sides. Always have to hear both sides. Because always know when you hear the first side, that's not the end of the story, but that's just the beginning of the story. When you hear the first side from one spouse or anyone from your child through a block at the other child, know that that is just the beginning of the story. That's chapter one. That the rest of the story is going to go on. We're going to have to reach chapter 30. And that just started. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls that man and says, I heard about these accusations that happened to you. He said, what would you say about them? He said, Ya Rasulullah, the first thing is my wife, she reads lengthy recitations, long surahs, and probably qiyam. And so she's praying and praying. So why is he complaining for? Well, he wants to spend time with his wife. But she's praying all night long. So he has no intimacy, not the time for him to be intimate with her. So she's praying a lot. This is why. She reads long, long surahs. So the Prophet ﷺ says, one surah, surah wahida, is enough. Just read one short one. One surah, if you will. And then the man said, she fasts every single day. Not just Monday and Thursday, every single day. One thing we know that you cannot have relations with your spouse while they're fasting. And he said, I'm a young man. What he's trying to say is that I want to have spent some time with my wife, if you understand that point. And that's a good thing, alhamdulillah. He doesn't want to spend it with other women, he wants to spend it with his wife, so that's a good thing. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that she should ask before nafil for extra fasting, get permission to her husband first. The husband shouldn't be unjust and a tyrant. But what? If you want to do extra, let him allow you to do that so he has time with you also when you're not fasting. And then he said, how about you sleeping over Fajr? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, we come from a family that has this issue. When we go to sleep, we sleep. We get hit and we sleep long, long, long time. He blames it on his family's inheritance and their family tradition, subhanAllah. I think that's going to fly? Probably not. So the Prophet says, oh, okay. When you first wake up, pray immediately. Don't be hitting that snooze button because you're never going to, it's going to be 10 o'clock when you wake up. But once you wake up, then go ahead and pray. The point of this hadith I'm bringing you, my dear brothers and sisters, is a lot of times when there's issues between a husband and wife, a lot of it's because we don't understand the intention of the reason why that complaint is coming. And we're just judging without understanding the whole story. You think if he would have told him all these things, his wife, and would have communicated a little bit better, that would have cleared things up? I probably would have. But one thing is that if you know good of her and you know good of him, that no, he's not trying to destroy you and not making sure you pray and you don't fast and he wants to bring me down and he doesn't want good for me and he wants to hold me back. Who is this person that you married? No, that cannot be the story. That's the shaitan whispering. Let's go back to the beginning of this khutbah now. That no, if he married you and he wanted, it's probably something else. If you look at it, he just wanted to spend time with you, sister. He wanted to hug you. He wanted to be with you. He wants to love you. That's a good thing. People lack that in the relationship. That is what he's complaining about. He doesn't want any other woman. He wants you. Oh, okay, wow. I didn't think, oh, so he's not against Islam. He's not against me praying. Oh, yeah, there you go. We have to clear things up. And sometimes what happens when you get in an argument, you start building this monster story of the person. And you keep on going. That's the shaitan in the back, just churning the wheel. And then sometimes we go down that hole. And that's why I brought the hadith up in the beginning. We have to be aware of that. If we know good in that person, know that, hold on, they're not that demon that doesn't want me to pray and doesn't want me to fast. That's some other story. Get that out of my head. No. They have to have husn al-dhan. You have to have a good thinking of people. That maybe they don't want that. Maybe they're just, I don't understand why they're complaining. Alhamdulillah, this is what we need, my dear brothers and sisters. There's going to be issues. There's going to be shaitan working in the back. But we have to take our time to work through things. We might be rookies. We might be entry level. Some of you might be 5 years experience under your belt in marriage. MashaAllah, that's still not a senior position. You're not director of the company. You're not CFO yet. You have to put 10, 15, 20 years. Talk to those individuals in the crowd. They'll tell you about marriage. They'll tell you how they worked and how they got up to 20 years and didn't bail off the train earlier, right? Once again, as long as there's no abuse and all these other things I talked about, I'm not talking about that category, people. I'm talking about where there's workable things here that they were able to churn through it, alhamdulillah, and work through it, and that is marriage. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah in our marriages and to guide us. أَكُلِي قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. الحمد لله الحمد رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The last thing I want to mention, my dear brothers and sisters, is the ayah in Surah Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us divine ordinance, gives us divine direction, gives us divine guidance when there's issues between the two and they cannot reconciliation between each other of what they're having, there are steps between that. And how do we handle that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Nisa, in verse number 35, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقًا بَيْنَهِمَا فَبَعْثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَحْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا أَحْلِهَا وَإِنْ يُرِيدَنِ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقُ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا خَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you fear, listen to me really good, listen to this really good, my dear brothers and sisters. If you fear dissension between a husband and wife, send from an arbitrator from his side of his family, and send from an arbitrator from her side of the family. And if they want sulh, if they want reconciliation, if they want to come together and fix their issues, Allah will give you tawfiq. Allah will give you grace in that. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing and all aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you fear differences between a husband and wife, arbitrator from the husband, arbitrator from the wife. If I ask all of you, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about in this ayah? Who is he addressing? Is he addressing the husband and wife? No, he's not. He says, if you fear between differences between a husband and wife, it means he's talking to someone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing someone else. And then you go to the tafsir, Imam Qurtubi mentions this in this tafsir. He's talking about the judge. He's talking about that leader. He's talking about that imam. He's talking about that marriage counselor. That if you fear dissension, then get a member from their party and a member from his party. Let them come together and let's see if we can work it out. I want you to pick up on something here. When there's an issue between individuals, it's not just run to the court and file a divorce paper, we're done. The court wouldn't say, oh, have you thought about this? Are you sure you really want to go through this? They'll give you the paper, they fill it out, pay the money. We're making bank. Pay the lawyer, that's it. This is a business. You see billboards. You want to get divorced? They want to. It helps them out. They're not going to question you. Do you have really thought about this? Do you really hate that person? Don't you want to get back to them? They don't worry about that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if there's issues, that what? They should go to what? A hakim. Go to a judge. Go to a leader. Go to a counselor. Go to somebody to help them. Now, if that doesn't work, if round one doesn't work, then get an arbitrator from his side and then an arbitrator from her side. Round two. Now we're working more second layer of dialogues. And if that doesn't work and they don't want to come together, then that's it. Because they can split. That's saying divorce is never an option. But there's layers, if you will, before you get there. It's not just going to return the item and it's like we're done. It's over. But there's means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to give us. Now, who follows that today and who actually goes by that? That's a good question. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this guidance, my dear brothers and sisters. That this is the way that we work our issues. And it could be at the end they get divorced. Even when they went through level one and level two. If that's it, that's it. Alhamdulillah. That worked. They went through the process though. But at least give it the process, my dear brothers and sisters. And alhamdulillah, we have counselors in our community. We have people who are dealing with marriage couples day in and day out. They have seen any issue you bring, I believe they have seen multiple times of this over and over again. They might be able to help you. They may not. They might be able to help you. But we want to keep this, inshallah, marriages, if it's healthy for them, we want to try to keep it together, inshallah, help them work through the problems. Like I said, a lot of them are rookies. A lot of them are interns. A lot of them are inter-level. They might not be able to know how to work out these issues. So there's nothing wrong of going to somebody like the lady that went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That stigma, please take that stigma and throw it in the furthest trash can you can. If I go to the imam and tell my problem or go to a counselor, I'm a bad person. I failed in my marriage. I failed as a human. No, there's people going to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam all the time, as we mentioned here. They were the best of generations. Right? There's nothing wrong with them. And alhamdulillah, this is divine ordinance to go to somebody and try to see if they could work out those issues, inshallah ta'ala. So inshallah ta'ala, we could use that and follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in this guidance of the Quran. Last thing I wanted to mention, it's a tangent that really doesn't relate anything to what I have just said right now, but it's worthy to mention that yesterday, a very prominent sheikh, Muhammad al-Sharif, rahimahullah, passed away on a trip that he had. A lot of you might not know who Muhammad al-Sharif is. Maybe some of you do. But he was an amazing individual. Probably, I don't know how exactly his age is, but not too old. That was here in North America that did amazing amount of work for Islam. that started an organization called Al Maghrib Institute. Many of you probably heard it before. The founder of that brought Islamic education throughout the United States in different cities and weekend classes, having all these different shuyu come and teach Islamic sciences that has never been done before. Putting classes on lecture series, on CD sets, even for those who still remember what CDs are. And it was, you know, alhamdulillah, distribute his ilm this way. So many programs and campaigns he has started. And unfortunately, we got the unfortunate news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken him back yesterday. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put rahmah and enter in Jannah al-Firdaus and reward all that he has done in this world and all those students that he has benefited. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. At the end, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Rahman, ya Rahim, to bless our spouses, ya Kareem, ya Rabbil Alameen. Put barakah in their marriages. Put mawadda and rahmah baynahuma, ya Kareem, ya Rahman, ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us for our wrongdoings. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect us from this coronavirus and give us a shifa, ya Kareem, ya Rahman, ya Rahim. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا للقوم الكافرين المنصر مجاهدين في كل مكان يا كريم رب العالمين اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وآفنا واعف عنا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا يا كريم يا غفور يا رحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Just a note, there's a carnival after this. Please, there's a note that they wanted to make sure everyone take care of their kids. There's water rides. Be safe and look after your kids. Just please don't leave them unattended. أقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله Make your line straight, close up in your caps, focus in your salah, pray as if it was your last prayer.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala bihamdika wa la ilaha illa anta. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنحر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد الكثير الطيب بارك فيه الله أكبر سبحان ربي العلى سبحان ربي العلى سبحان ربي العلى الله أكبر
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك، فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. ربنا ولك الحمد الكثير مباركا فيه. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العلى. سبحان ربي العلى. سبحان ربي العلى. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. هديات لله صلوات وطيبات والسلام عليك يا نبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. إلى إيمان الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، سيدنا محمد وآل سيدنا محمد، كما قال سيدنا إبراهيم وآل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Thank you very much, Sheikh Shahid, for emphasizing the family and this relationship. May Allah bless you. We have dua requests from several families. Please remember Brother Muhammad Rafi, Brother Haitham Badoqsi, Sister Rebecca Khan, Dr. Jamila Qureshi, Sister Gina Siddiqui, Sister Nancy Rafi, children Zahra and Qasim, Brother Faisal Zubair, and Brother Haq Nawaz. May Allah give them shifa. Allahumma shfihim ya Allah. Allahumma shfihim ya Allah. Allahumma shfihim ta shafi la shafi ya illa anta shifa an la yughadir suqma. Brother Rafiq Sharif, Brother Hani Al-Khatib, Brother Robert Ali Flores passed away. Please make dua for them. May Allah give them maghfirah, give them the place in Jannah. There is also Salatul Janaza that will take place tomorrow for Sister Fakhrun Nisa Taylor. And Brother Sheikh Shahid already mentioned about Sheikh Muhammad Sharif. May Allah bless him, bless all of these people, give them the place in Jannah. May Allah reward him for those, Brother Muhammad Sharif, especially for his work that he did for the education and at the Maghrib Institute. May Allah bless him. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.